people have great needs, many needs. They are. And oftentimes, when someone comes to us, they say, I've got a need. We may think that is a slight need, but to them, it is a need. Sometimes people may think that the needs we have are very slight or insignificant, but to us, they are very real needs. And oftentimes, we cannot get those. They cannot identify them. Are not willing to help us or pray with us or try to see us to meet those needs. But we've got one that's always willing, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, is a God that delights in supplying what we stand in need of. No doubt, there are people, your boss, supervisor, maybe parents, maybe spouse, maybe your children. There might be a time that you ask for someone to help you. And with a great sigh, and with a great show of your really inconveniencing them, they let you know that, you know, if you're just kind of burdening them with your need, there's one that never turns you down. There's one that's always willing to listen. There's one that's got the ability to take care of that need, and that is Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. And I delight in that. It is often said, we think about unused power sources. And people want to talk about unused power source of the sun, the unused power source of the wind, the unused power source of the water with the rivers and the ocean, the power of the ocean. But those that have a spiritual aspect, you look at things on, this, on a spiritual level, they say that the most unused power source in the world is the power of prayer of God's people. That we simply will not go to the Heavenly Father, the one that's able to supply all of our needs and delight in supplying our needs. And oftentimes we will not even go to Him to ask or request of His help. As again, we all have need. He is willing to supply that need. Turn your Bibles again to the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 through 9, and read verses 13 through verse 20. All the thoughts we have upon our hearts certainly cannot We'll not be able to expound them all here at one time today. We don't want to keep you so long today. So we're going to go back and revisit some of these thoughts here this evening. But we would like you to kind of get in your mind, the thought of your mind here this morning and also throughout the day. What would you determine to be the greatest need in your life at this present time? What is the greatest need in your life at this present time? Think about that as we go through the message today, and then we would ask you to continue to prayerfully consider that subject and come back out this evening as we further explore this thought here today. It's like to simply style our message, supply all your needs. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, so stand fast to the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you and others, beseech them, dear, that they be of the same mind, the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke, fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice the Lord always, and can I say rejoice? The book of Philippians is a great book of rejoicing, a great book of happiness, great contentment to be found in our Lord. The only descending problem we see in the book of Philippians is mentioned right there in verse 2, and seemingly there's two members of the church are having a problem, one with another, and the Apostle Paul, in writing, is telling them they need to get that worked out. But the book of Philippians is a very positive book, a very encouraging book. It's a book, if you would, that deals with, as Brother Trent has taught not so long ago, it's a book that deals much with the workings of our minds. Rejoice for it all, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Man, I tell you, if we get that thought in our mind, the Lord is at hand. Jesus is coming soon. Since we sung that choir song, the Lord's at hand. He's coming. It's upon us. Our Lord is always present, but He's coming back in great power and authority and glory one day. How that Lord will make us behave to be a little closer, live a little closer for the Lord. Be careful for another. In other words, not be over anxious. But everything about prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, that request, you know, made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, and from any virtue and from any praise, think on these things. Who's the preacher the first time I ever heard anybody coin the phrase? Junk in, junk out. Junk in, junk in, junk out. The Bible tells us we need to think on some good things. Think on some good positive things. Think on things that are true and absolute. Think on the promises of God's Word that are pure and wholesome. Those things you have both learned, received, heard, seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You heard that preached this past Sunday, and Brother Bird talked about know your value. How that our children need to know their value as adults. We need to know our value, and we need to instill the value, the godly values, in those ones around us, the ones we love. Verse 13 through verse 20. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done if you to communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, I depart from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. The Apostle Paul is talking about, remember now, the Apostle Paul is in a Roman prison. The Apostle Paul is writing to Philippian people. He's giving them, if you would, a pat on the back. He's giving them much more than that. He's expressing his love, his appreciation. He said, you know, when I was there at this point in my life, the others loved me, others cared for me. The Apostle Paul said, you give. And Apostle Paul makes mention also that it was not that they were such a rich church, a rich body of believers, but they give of themselves and their substance to help him. And that's not the only reason Apostle Paul had a special feeling of affection for the Philippian people. I believe you can say that the Philippian people, their walk matched their talk. Not only did they say they loved, but they showed their love and the Apostle Paul in a great way. Bring the best of my you sent once again into my necessity. And he said, not because I desire it. Because it's not, I'm not saying it because I just desire once to give me more things. But the Apostle Paul said, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Well, the truth of the Bible is what? Oftentimes those things we get that we want, we desire, we get a key, are the very things we give away. If we want to go up, what do? The way up in the service of the Lord is down in the place of service. Those who want to be greatest should be willing to be at the very least, in the very minimal things in the service of God. And Apostle Paul said, as you give, God will bless, and I'm blessed. I'm able to continue on doing the things that I'm able to do. And he said, but I know that God is blessing you and will continue to bless you for that. He said, but I have all, unabound. Apostle Paul said, you know, I've got it all. Whether the Philippian people never give him anything, the Apostle Paul understood he had it all because he had salvation. And even though he was in a Philippians, even though he was in a Roman jail about to be headed, the Apostle Paul knew he was right in the middle and the center of God's will. And no matter what befall you, no matter what comes your way, no matter what comes your way, what comes my way, if I know for a surety that I'm right exactly in the middle of God's will, do what God wants me to do at that moment and that point in time, God will bless me and He'll give me peace in my heart so I can give you peace in your heart as He's given peace in the heart of thousands and thousands and thousands of the saints of old and even today. Apostle Paul said, I have all abound. He said, I'm full. He said, I've received Aphrodite, those things were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. It talks about our prayers as being incense that goes into heaven. The Apostle Paul said, those things you sent me are have a sweetness to them. There's a pleasurableness to the receiving, and the thought behind the giving, what you give to me, see, that causes me what? To have great rejoice in my heart. It's a pleasing to me. And certainly, it's well-pleasing unto the God. Jesus at one time taught the disciples about what they've done for Him. And, you know, it basically, it's good that you're doing these things for me. And Jesus said, well, the disciples said, well, when do we do that for you, Lord? When do we do that? I don't remember when we done that. And paraphrasing, taking great liberty, but Jesus basically said, when you help the blind, when you help those in need, when you help this one, you help that one, you've done this, you've done that. The Lord said, you've done the same for me. Since you're doing that in my name, you're doing that for my honor, for my glory, and for my people. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to take our text from verse 19, and this thought, this will be a thought we want you to think about, and we'll continue on this very same thought this evening. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And this passage of Scripture, Joseph, will you go back and give me one of the devotion books? I got the flowers on, please. In this passage of Scripture, we read of several precious and powerful promises. Several in this passage of Scripture, these very short verses we've read, there are some precious and powerful and empowering promises. In verse 7 and 9, what do we read? The promise of peace. The promise of peace. The peace, the Bible says, that is able to passes understanding. I would like to simply ask you today, do you need peace in your heart today? Do you need peace in your soul today? Are you at peace with yourself today? Only you can answer that question. Only you can answer that question. In the book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And sometimes we know these passages of Scripture, and when I read them, they might be very familiar to you. But at the same time, we have to ask you the question, why is it that there might not be peace in your heart? There might not be that tranquility in your heart that you know has been there before, but why is it not there today? From which come wars and fightings among you? Why is there not peace in your heart? Come they not hint in your lust that war your members? Could it be that there's things that are waging and things you're thinking about, there's things that's going on in your mind that's preventing you from to have peace? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and obtain, you fight for you, you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You don't have what you're asking for because God knows that if He would give that to us, that we would do it and use it in a way that would be pleasing to Him. You adulterers and adulteresses, though you're not the friendship of the world, the enemy with God. He's not talking about a physical adultery. He's talking about spiritual adultery. What is spiritual adultery? It is having that friendship, that fellowship, having that companionship, desiring above the things of God. The things of the world, and the friendship of the world, and the ways of the world. Whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Can we not befriend people? Can we not have acquaintances that are lost? There's nothing wrong with that. In order to reach out to people, that you, Jesus, said you're a friend of sinners. Listen, Jesus was a friend. Jesus had an acquaintance. Jesus was friendly. Jesus was outgoing to people. Jesus tried to help people. And not at the cost of compromise, but he befriended those. And he tried to show them the path, the true path, the right path. He put it out there before them. Do you think this scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelt in us, lusts is the envy? Give us more grace. Wherefore he said, God reserved the promise, give us grace in the humble. Submit, that's where it's all at. My goodness, how we hate to submit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. And he'll flee from you. Brother John, talk about that. Listen, the devil can't win. The devil can't win. The devil can have the victory unless we invite him in, unless we don't want to get rid of him. Resist the devil. And he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Get close to God. Get up close to the person of the Lord, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify hearts, you double-minded. Listen, the sinner needs to repent and get things right with God. Those that be saved, they need to purify their hearts. They need to repent of their ways, their evilness, their wickedness, and their waywardness and get things right with God. Why is it some people have no peace? Well, James makes that very clear. In verse 13, we read of the promise of being able to do. I like that. To be able to do. And you may have been raised with parents. You may have been able to go through life. You may have been able to have different jobs. I doubt it, but you may have thought you did. That you thought that you could, someone would give you a responsibility, someone would give you a task, and you thought you'd get by and not be able to see that through, because you'd simply say, well, I can't do that. Well, I couldn't do that. As a young person starting out at right around 10 years old, 11 years old, I was given tasks to do. My father did not ask more from me than what I could do. My mother did not ask more of me than what I could possibly do. After I was saved at an early age as well, as a young man, God never called for me to do anything that I couldn't do. My grandfather, as a young teenager, tell my grandfather, he never asked me to do anything I could not do. That he'd give me the tools or the ability or the authority to be able to get somebody else to get something done. Nothing was ever given me. I don't know, any of my life, going through life, there's very many things that's ever been given to me that I could just pass it off and say, well, I can't do that. I just couldn't do that. And or any other excuse. In the service of God, the Bible says, what? Let's take time to read it there again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, period marks right there. You put an exclamation mark right there. There is nothing that God has called upon you to do. I'm not talking that up and above reasonable service. I'm talking about just the very simplest things that God tells you that you should do, that you need to be doing, that God will give you the strength to do that. Period. Our awesome God is all powerful through the Holy Spirit indwelling us as His children. We can do all things. Period. We can do all things. You can't cop out. You can't make a cop out. You can't make excuses by saying, I can't do that, Lord. Because through the power of God, the Bible says that you can do. You absolutely can do. If you took time to read your devotion this morning, in the Spirit. Let me take time to read. We cannot see or hear the Holy Spirit, but He is the very real and is the very fact, the very life of each true Christian. And it's only through Him we have access and prayer to the Father, as our text says now. Christ in His resurrection body is seated at the right hand of the Father in the distant heaven, but the Holy Spirit has put His temple in our very bodies. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. He not only hears each spoken prayer, but also each thought of our hearts. From the moment we receive Christ, we live in the Spirit. He is always with us to guide our steps, to bear witness our spirit that we belong to God, to illuminate our understanding, and when needed, to convict us, and also to chasten us when we get out of His will. We oftentimes like to delight in one of the devotions this past week. It makes there's a sentence in that devotion that spoke about the promises of God. There are many great, exceedingly precious promises of God. Some of the promises are to our benefit, a blessing to us, promises of blessing, but also there are promises of chastening. There's promises what's going to happen to us if we disobey God. It works both ways. Therefore, if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. When we yield to some worldly temptation, because we've ignored the admonition, for the promise is to walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The very presence of the Holy Spirit assures our eternal salvation. So how can we ignore His holy constraints on our behavior? The Holy Spirit gives us and influences us and lets us know we have a salvation that's eternal. But why would we relish that and delight in that? Because the Holy Spirit puts that in our heart and tells us to refrain, to stop, to not go down this path, to not let those thoughts overwhelm us, to not be that kind of an individual. Why do we want to pick and choose the good things the Lord we think are good things and ignore those things that go against the flesh? Listen, the Bible says that through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, We can do all things. We speak of worshiping God in the church, at home, or elsewhere, but if we really worship Him, we must worship Him in the Spirit. For we have access to the Father and Son only in the Spirit. Take time to read that in a little more detail at a later time. But again, the Bible says, our God is powerful through the Holy Spirit to dwell in us as His children. We can do all things. We say it often because we use the phrase so often it's not effective. When God calls you to do something, God equips. When God calls you, as God calls you to salvation, God calls you to follow baptism. God calls you to be a member of the church. God calls you to be a faithful member of the church. God calls upon you to pray and to be a good witness. And God calls upon you to do those things that God, the very elementary things in our Christian life, in our Christian experience, you can do it. And then God may be calling you on in the other special, specific services. Everybody's got that certain thing, I believe, that God calls you to do, something up and above. Do it and do it well. When God calls, God equips. Then in verse 19, what do we read? But my God supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Man, I feel like that. Again, I'm a needy person. All my life, I realize that, you know, I realize since I've been saved all my spiritual life, I realize that God provides. And I'm thankful because I'm a needy person. And I have needs. And I know, I realize that my God can provide my needs. And He does provide my needs. And I delight in that. That prayerfully brings us, we read that passage as our text scripture for today. That's the main thought. And the main thought, again, we want you to think about here today is, and we'd ask you to prayerfully consider this, what is your greatest need as a child, God's child? What is the very greatest need in your life? There may be some specific needs you need to get you through the week. And God understands that. There may be some very specific things that you do need. But what is the overriding thing that you look in your heart and say, God, this is what I need. I need this, Lord. For me to be the spiritual, to be the, your child, Lord, to be all that I need to be. And Lord, if you don't give that to me, if I don't have that, I can't be that, Lord. What is that? What is that you need above all else? For most, and this passage of Scripture speaks about it much. We've heard it from different preachers of late. We've heard it in different lessons of late. We've heard it from different messages from me. But we talk about peace. For most, the need of peace or inner being is the top of the list. To have peace in your heart. Have peace in your inner man. To have a tranquility in the inner man. Is open at the very top of the list. If a person is here today and does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, there's not going to be no true peace. You seek it, you find it wherever you may. You will not find it. And you will come into a place called hell throughout eternity. And again, there will never be no peace. The man there in the book of Luke, as he cried out, he said, Father Abraham, send my eyes to give me a dip of water on my tongue. No peace, no peace, no peace without eternity. You to be lost and done without being a recipient of the saving grace of Almighty God. If you have not had the blood of Jesus applied to your account, listen, there's no peace in your heart. People in the world, they deny the blood of Jesus. They boldly proclaim who they are and what they are in the face of revealed scriptures. And they ha, 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 he. Listen, I know behind all of that fakery and facade, I know this, there's no peace. And things don't get right, they'll never have no peace. In the meanwhile, while they go around, ha, 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 he. Do you think sometimes those people, your friends, they're trying to destroy you? Especially they know you've got the peace of God in your heart because they hate what you are showing to them. Because they don't have it. Listen, a person that is lost without the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins condemn you. We that are saved. Listen, we that are saved, we that are saved, and you be here that is lost, you don't have to be a stranger to the precious promise of peace. You don't have to be a stranger to that precious promise of peace that comes through salvation. We encourage you to be saved today. Take care of that today. If you're lost, you can tell me what the greatest thing in your life is. But if you're lost, you can't claim salvation. If you don't know for surety if you died today, you go to be with the Lord. I'll tell you what your greatest need is salvation, the forgiveness of Almighty God.
Amen.
Know you're justified in your sin and put under the blood of Jesus. That's your greatest need. What about those here that be saved? You didn't place your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus as He was sent from heaven, lived a perfect life, willingly gave Himself over to those who hated Him. They arrested Him, they beat Him, they humiliated Him, they crucified Him, and put Him away in a tomb. Praise God, the tomb couldn't hold Him. He rose from that grave victorious. He paid the price. He paid the price for our redemption. You, if you're lost, you're undone, you're hell deserving and hell bound sinner, but God will save you. Just for you here today to have had your sins put under the blood of Jesus, you that have been saved and born again, God save you. The Bible says in Hebrews 7, verse 25, it talks about a salvation. It talks about a salvation that is to the uttermost. Saved to the uttermost. Talked to the person of the folks praying this past week and talked to them about their salvation and how things between you and the Lord. Are you saved? They made comments, somebody in the family this past week and also asked the same question. The way he put it was, they jumped on me about being in my relationship with God. And he said, I told them, it's like I'll tell you. I was baptized when I was younger, as a child, and went to such and such a place to worship, but even as a child, I had such and such responsibilities that I took care of as a child. And that was the totality of their salvation experience. As a child, I was baptized, I had some chores to do as a child, around the place I went to worship. That was the total testimony of their salvation. And looking at that person, know that person well, from that point to this point today in life, there's no evidence whatsoever. There's no proofs whatsoever. There's no way that anybody on the outside did not know anything other than this man and just his character from probably the time he was 20 for the last 60 years of his life. There's no way that anybody would ever even think that in their mind they would think, man, that person saved on their way to heaven, I want to be just like them. There's nothing in their life showing that. Listen, we want you to be saved today.
Amen.
To know you're saved. You say, how can I know I'm saved? These things have I written to you that you may know to have eternal life. If you've placed your faith and trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've repented your sin. Repent is a turning away from sin and turning toward God. If there's no change, there's no salvation. Where there's no testimony, or the testimony has been mired for many, many years, there's a repent also in place if you are saved. It cannot continue on that way. But again, our salvation is the salvation of the uttermost. God saved, we're saved with eternity. As a child of God, when we disobey, that sweet fellowship is broken. Our sin caused a break in His peace. It's not that the Lord's hand is short and that He can't hear. It's our sins that have caused. What we preached about a while ago, the psalmist said, why is there this quietness in my soul? Why is there restlessness in my soul? Listen, sin brings a restlessness in the soul. Then, as we are instructed in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful to judge and forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As a saved person, it's like King David being addressed as a man of God. David could clearly see the sin and the injustice of this man that had done wrong. But it was a hypothetical situation. But it was sin, it was wrong. And a man of God giving David this hypothetical situation. And man, David could see right through that. David saw the hurt of that. He saw the sin of that. He got angry about that man and what he'd done was wrong. And then the man of God looked back to David and he said, what? Basically, David, this is a hypothetical situation. But the hypothetical situation, David, I'm talking to you about is exactly what you've done and what you're doing right now. You're the very one. The very one that you are condemning and saying they need to be dealt with. David, you are the one. David come down on David like a ton of bricks. I can always see the faults and sins and problems of others a lot easier than I can mine. I can go about fixing you and coming up with strategies and plans to fix you. But man, let nobody tell me about me. It's a dangerous thing. Listen, our God is just to forgive us our sins. But we've got to be able to say, hey, Lord, and your need may simply be today, Lord, I need, here on TV, what they talk about, a restart button. Our government needs a restart. We talk about having a refreshing, a time of refreshing. For revival is a time of refreshing. It may be simply that you say, and I'm not being flippant, I'm not being irreverent, but it may be that you need to go to God as God's child and say, God, today I need to hit the restart button. Lord, I need to get back to where I used to be. God, I need to get back and have the joy in my heart. Why? Lord, because I'm doing what you told me to do. I'm not having unrealistic expectations and thoughts going through my mind, and devilish thoughts, and the influence of the devil and the devil's people, the world. I'm all flesh nature. Lord, I'm going to hit the restart button. I want you to forgive me. I'm going to repent. And I'm going to turn and get back to do things. Lord, you would bless me again, once again in my life. Then in verse 13, I can do all things that through Christ strengthens me. Listen, I need the strength of the Lord to help me. There's things in my life, there's always been times in my life as a pastor, that I've needed God to help me. I've needed the companionship, I've needed the prayers, I've needed the fellowship, I just needed the good word, I needed the handshake, I needed the hug, I needed that gift, that phone call, that text message. I needed that from God's people to help me, to strengthen me. It's always been that way for me. I'm not afraid to admit that I need strength. There's been times that God has delivered and helped me in times that I needed His strength. That I could not do, God did not help me to do. Brother John, I was talking to him the other day. Brother John had a heart attack over 2 weeks ago. Mind you, it wasn't when the small vessel was at heart. But it was a heart attack. There were other health conditions and things going on there. So that blockage had started rewrapping itself. They started giving other medications, trying to adjust some other things that the health problems he's got. I talked to him the day before yesterday. I said, brother, I said, there yesterday, how's things going? He said, I just come out from preaching the funeral. He said, I'm getting ready to go preach tonight at the nursing home. And I'm going to be preaching the funeral tomorrow. I said, you just preached on last Saturday, couldn't you, Brother John? He said, yes, I did. I said, does the funeral kind of get you down, brother? Well, I said, it takes a lot out of it. He said, sure does, Brother Tim. I said, well, Brother Clarence, I talked to you late. Said, you've been having some other things you've done as well. He laughed. He said, Sister Debbie told me that since I've come out of the hospital, she thinks I've had one day didn't have something major to take care of. One day. He said, how can he do that? He's sick. How can he do that? How could Brother Homer Crane come to church after open heart surgery with wire clips, wire stitches holding his, they busted his breastbone apart and pulled him apart and done bypass open heart surgery and they put that back together and they took his arm staples and had those arm staples in his down through his chest. I seen him. And come up here and preach for about an hour or 20 minutes. How could a man do that? And leave here and go to Michigan and preach. Grant ended up in the hospital after that, I think. But how can he just do those things? How can you do? How can I do sometimes things? How can we go on? It's not in the sheer strength and ability and the power. It's the power of God. Yeah. You can do. You will be able to do. You can't just give in to it. Because God says, I'll give you the power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I need the strength of the Lord to help me. The Christian is at their most strength, the Bible teaches us, when we're at our very weakest. When I'm weak, then I'm strong, 2 Corinthians 12, 12, 10. For those that may feel like you can't continue on, you can't overcome, you can't succeed, you've got to remember the Word of God. Hearing in our text throughout the Bible, this promise is recorded over and over again. You, as God's child, can. You can. You've got to see that. You've got to know that. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God helping you. Brothers and sisters, through the power of the Lord, you can do all things. You can do, you will do, just as you have done, and continue to do so. Back to our text verse. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Again, what is your need? May we hit upon that. Maybe we haven't touched upon that. But again, we ask, what is your greatest need? I ask you to pray if we consider that. We come back tonight, we look at God's Word, we'll be able to identify and find the solution for the greatest need. And that it can be met. And it will be met. It is possible to be made met in the power and the love of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we ask you the blessed invitation, Lord, your God has met many needs in my life. The need of salvation, the need of strength, the need of peace, the need of power, the need of perseverance. Lord, just you have every member here that is saved. And Lord, just introduce them. Don't ever let the devil tell us that we can't. That we're defeated. We can't go on. Lord, because we can. And you promised us that. Lord, I pray for anyone that's lost, succeed their need in the Savior. Oh, Lord, the importance, the need of a lost person to really be able to see their loss in an unconditioned. And then, Lord, even then, by faith, to see you die for them on the cross of Calvary for their sins. Let them see, Lord, that you paid the price, that you was buried, but you arose out of that grave. And, Lord, that you did all that, the Bible said, all according to Scripture, Lord, that you fulfilled. And all that you did, that we could have eternal life for everyone, each and everyone, even that one here today, Lord, says that they're lost. If they could see that and believe, Lord, they could be saved. As you repent and believe in the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for supplying. Lord, we thank you for the great God that you are. Thank God that we're able to, in your power, in your word, Lord, we can continue on as your people, as you, God, supply our need. Whatever they may be. Forgive us and bless the invitation again, we pray. Amen. Everyone's